This morning, I want us to look at a passage, and we're going to be in James chapter 1. And it's always one of those passages that I always found hard to do, but when I have been able to do it, when you've been able to do it, I know that we're blessed. But trials and tribulations are going to come. And so let's read this passage. We're going to start just a couple verses here in James chapter 1. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word, I know there is so much here for me and for each of us, that I pray today that as your Spirit opens our eyes and our heart to hear your word, help us to understand what it is you have for us. Lord, may we glorify you and learn from you. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. Bless it now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Trials are going to come. Tribulations are going to come. And that's the title that I put up there. Tribulations are coming. And so many times we say, well, that's a part of life. And yes, we are going to go through trials and tribulations of life. But this morning I want us to understand that not just those normal part of life tribulations and trials that, like the scripture says, when you fall into various trials, not just those, but I want to look at those trials that are brought upon for a reason for us. Now, I know when I was growing up, there was a lot of times that I got into trouble that I brought on myself. There was a lot of times I got into trouble that I didn't bring on myself, believe it or not. But we are going to look at tribulations and how we are in those, and the reason, maybe the reason, maybe the purpose, whatever. We're going to go through that. So as we look at this morning, I know I could probably say with most of you, I have a hard time counting it a joy when it's a trial, when it's a tribulation that maybe I didn't bring on myself. And sometimes it's hard to consider it a joy, even if I did bring it on myself in the understanding of it all. But as we look at the Scripture, so many times we think that the trial or the tribulation that we're facing, it's just something to make life a little more difficult. But God warns us that they are coming in the fact in Ephesians chapter 6, He says, put on the full armor of God. He wouldn't tell us that if He didn't know that we needed it. And it goes on to talk about the fact of where you put on that full armor of God because of who you are fighting. It says that we will fight basically the devil. We are going to fight the devil. We're going to fight against principalities and powers of darkness. That is a trial and that is a tribulation that you and I are going to go through. Now, most of us would stop and say, I pray I don't have to go through those. I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't know exactly how God would have me deal with that. But over the past week or two, I've listened to podcasts and I've read scripture and I've spent time in prayer and just trying to read my Bible through understanding of tribulations. And we are not only to consider it a joy, not only expect it and put on the armor to fight it. And 1 Peter 4:12 says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials that are coming. We are to look forward to them because Jesus Christ went through tribulation for you and me. And if we are going to live the life that He's called us to live, then we will face tribulation. If this world, and it did, hated our Savior, And we walk with Him and we talk with Him and we become more like Him every day, which is what we should be doing, then this world is going to hate us too. And the tribulations that are brought upon us, that are coming, that we're warned about, should be a joy. We don't look at it that way. But it is a privilege to suffer tribulation for the name of Jesus Christ. And too many times as Christians, we want to avoid those tribulations. Well, I don't want to say something that's going to cause a confrontation. I don't want to say something that is going to seem disrespectful. I don't want to do something that is going to be taken the wrong way. And so what we do is we don't present the gospel plainly. Because when you do, it is going to bring tribulation. When Jesus Christ came and He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When John said that, when Paul preached that, when Peter preached that, when the disciples all preached that, every one of them but one died of persecution. But we want to avoid that. He tells us it's coming, and it's a privilege that it's coming based on our love for Him. That I get to not only know Him more, but know the power of His suffering. The Bible tells us that we should look forward to persecution, tribulation, because we love Jesus Christ and this world hates Him. But too many times, even though we know it's coming, you and I try to avoid it. Paul never tried to avoid it. Peter never tried to avoid it. John never tried to avoid it. The difference is we think we can get by without it. But according to the Scripture, you cannot get by without tribulation if you stand for Jesus Christ. If I stand for Jesus Christ, it is going to make this world not only uncomfortable, but it is going to make them hate me. Because I am telling them there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ alone. By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. And when you tell people that, they are not going to like it. They are not going to like the fact that you're telling them that the religion that they followed all their life or the belief that they have is not going to get them anywhere but on the streets of hell. They're not going to like that. And they're going to do everything they can to stop you. And that tribulation, those trials that are coming, should be coming every day for you and me. But do we face tribulation because of Jesus Christ? Most of us do not. We know that the tribulations are coming. And it says we're to count it as a joy, and probably the reason we don't is because we don't realize the purposes of tribulation. First, they're coming. Second, they have a purpose. In Malachi chapter 3, it talks about how God is that refiner that sits there and that the tribulations are going to refine our faith. They are going to refine our character that follows Jesus Christ. And there's a story, and I've heard it, I don't know how many times I've heard it just since I started studying this message, about how this group was doing a study and they were talking about that verse in Malachi chapter 3 where it says that God was like this refiner sitting there. And so this one guy, he wanted to do a study on it. And he said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to find a silversmith and I'm going to ask him, what does that verse really mean?" And he finally found a silversmith. He said, "Can I sit and watch you and learn from you and try to understand what this scripture is really talking about?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Can I ask you questions while you're doing this?" And he said, "Yes." And so as he sat there and he watched this man and he got the fire so hot and he began to put the silver in the middle of it. And the man asked him, he said, How long do you have to sit here and watch this before you can get up and go around? Do you have to stay here? And he said, no, I cannot take my eyes off of it. As the refiner, I cannot take my eyes off of that silver because it may burn. It may spoil because of I took my eye off of it. He said, so I cannot take my eye off of it. And so the guy understood that when God says He is the refiner of our souls and He is refining our faith and our character, it told him and it tells us that God never takes His eye off of you while you're in that tribulation. He will never take His eye off of him. And the man sat right there close to the flame, right in the center of it. And the man said, why do you sit so close? He said, because I need to be able to get to it if it's too hot. And he understood at that God is always right there. Even in the midst of the fire, God is right there where He is always available to us in our time of tribulation, in that time of refining. And so the gentleman asked him, he said, I got one more question. He said, how long does it take before that silver is refined? He said, how do you know when to pull it out? He said, well, that's probably the easiest part, when I can see my reflection in the silver and there's no impurities. And the man knew immediately what that scripture meant, because we are in a refining fire until Christ can see His image in us. There's a purpose for every tribulation and every trial you and I are in. And one of those purposes is so that God can refine us to be more like Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes burning those impurities out of our life. Also, that purpose for that tribulation is a dependence on God. I go through tribulation sometimes so that I have to turn, because there's nowhere else to turn, and God lets me get into situations to where I will turn to Him and I will depend on Him. I will rely on Him. The children of Israel walked through the wilderness for 40 years. He tried to get them to depend on Him. They were going through tribulations and trials for the purpose of dependence on God. When they were weak, when you're weak, He is strong. He's going to allow you to go through things that you can't handle. People will always make this comment, and I hate it. If that's too strong a word, too bad. But what they say is, God will never give you more than you can handle. That is not scriptural. He's going to give you more than you can handle, so you will turn around and give it to Him. Because if you think you can handle everything that's coming, you better open your eyes, because there are tribulations coming that you can't handle if you truly stand for Jesus Christ. But He promises He will never leave us nor forsake us. He wants us to depend on Him, and sometimes He puts us in things that we can't handle so that we will depend on Him. So a purpose is to refine us. A purpose is to cause us to depend on Him. And this last one, or not the last one, but this next one, people don't like. It's because it's discipline or correction. Knew a guy one time sitting in a Sunday school class with him, and he said, God doesn't discipline. Well, Hebrews says He does. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. I know I disciplined my children when they were growing up. I know most of you in here disciplined your children when they were growing up. You didn't do it because you hated them. You did it because you loved them. And God allows us to go through things sometimes to teach us a lesson. He does it for discipline. He does it to correct us. We don't like that. You know, when I would swat my kids, probably the three times that it happened, because they were angels. Don't all laugh at the same time. But when I would swat my kids, I did it because I loved them. And there are times that I know in my life that I have truly felt God swat me. not on my backside, but in my heart, in my life. Another purpose is to provide a testimony to those around. God allows us to go through tribulations so that other people will see how you reacted and wonder why you reacted that way. And they will see how you took that trouble and that tribulation you were going through. And they'll see how you turned and handed it to God. And you used it to give Him glory. God allows tribulations for a purpose. And they all turn back to bringing Him glory, refining our character, causing us to depend on Him, causing us correction and discipline, and to provide a testimony. These all happen. The purpose for our tribulations are to bring glory and honor to our God. So every time that you and I have not done something to avoid tribulation, we have not done something that could have brought glory and honor to God. Because it would be uncomfortable for me. It would be uncomfortable for you. And so we don't want to do that that's going to cause tribulation, that's going to cause a trial in our life. And so we void the chance of God receiving glory. If we will see the purpose behind our tribulations, then we're more apt to count them a joy. But you know, it's not just thinking of the purpose of these trials and tribulations, but it's understanding that for every tribulation and trial, there is an end. We need to understand that. Psalm chapter 34 tells us that the Lord delivers us from them all. Well, man, this one's been, took a long time. Maybe it's not over. Maybe you're not refined enough. Maybe you haven't learned your lesson. Maybe you haven't been corrected. Maybe you've not received the discipline. Maybe you've not learned to depend on Him. It seems like it's taking so long, God, for this trial or this tribulation to end. But He promises to deliver us from every one of them. He doesn't say how He's going to deliver us. And many times it's not the way I would want or not the way you would want. But it's a promise of God that He will deliver you from every trial and tribulation. Some of them may be when we take our last breath. That's what happened to the disciples. He delivered every one of them from the tribulation they faced. Some of them as they entered heaven. But we also understand that these trials and tribulations are going to end because the Bible tells us that these light and momentary problems that we're facing right now, heaven far outweighs them all. So if they're momentary, they should just be quick, right? But if you stop and think, our life is but a vapor which appears for a little bit and then vanishes away. That's momentary. I may go through tribulation my whole life, but compared to eternity, that's momentary. It's going to end. God assures me of that. God promises me that the tribulations will end. And I don't think I could go through this sermon on tribulations, but to point out that there is a tribulation coming. It's going to last 7 years. He says it's going to end. It's going to end when He comes back. Every tribulation in the Bible, He says He will deliver us from, and it will have an end. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but it will have an end of the tribulation. And so, sometimes when you're going through things and you don't understand why, maybe you don't see the discipline. Maybe you don't understand the refining. Maybe you don't understand the dependence or even who's watching for the purpose of it all. I can still know that it's going to end. And maybe some people would say, yeah, but if it ends with the end of my life, then how's that okay? Because I know the last breath I take from right here on this earth, I will be ushered into the streets of heaven. And I'll be at the presence of Jesus. And I can take some tribulation for that. Because that's nothing. Tribulation is nothing compared to seeing Jesus Christ. Now, as I point out that tribulations are coming and tribulations have a purpose and tribulations will have an end, that's pretty simple. Pastor, you could stop right there, tell me there's a purpose and tell me there's an end. But that would be cutting off part of the message. Because tribulations give you a ministry. Tribulations give you a ministry. We can go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Every tribulation that you go through has another purpose. And you are to use the comfort God promises you to someone else. That tribulation that you faced in this life, maybe it wasn't any of your issue. Maybe it wasn't anything you did. Maybe it was a health issue. Maybe it was a job issue. Whatever tribulation you went through, it had a purpose to depend on God. Well, then there's somebody else going through that same thing. And the same way God comforted you, that's your ministry to comfort them. Because the God of all comfort, no comfort comes from anywhere else. That's a part of that verse that so many people miss when it says the God of all comfort. If He is the God of all comfort, there is no comfort anywhere else but from God. And so if you have a family member, if you have a friend, if you have a business worker, if you have a teammate that needs comfort, the only place comfort can come from is God. It's not going to come from a new job. It's not going to come from something else. It can only come from the God of all comfort. And if you have received comfort, it's came from God. And if you've received it from Him, then He has given that to you according to this verse so that you would have a ministry to pass that comfort on to someone else. And I am not talking about just making them feel better. So many times we think that's what it is. We think comfort is just making someone feel better. No, comfort is relaying the love of God, because nothing can be more comforting than the love of God. Than what you're going through, God loves you and He's there with you. He walks beside you. He goes before you, the Bible tells us. God is there holding your hand. He's sitting in the front of that refining fire waiting till He sees your image. He is trying to get you to come back to Him. He is trying to get you to rely on Him. He's trying to get you to minister to other people because He loves you and He loves them. So if I have somebody, you have somebody in your life that's going through some type of tribulation. And like I said, maybe we face trials and tribulations that are not based on our faith, and we'll get to those. Those people that are going through issues that are just life issues, and we want to comfort them, the only way we can do that is to share Jesus Christ with them. When you go to face those trials, those tribulations that are based on your faith, know that tribulation's coming. Know that it's a privilege to face tribulation. I don't know how, but I know that when Stephen was being stoned, he was able to look up and he was able to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the Scripture says it right now. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. But that day, when Stephen is being stoned for his faith, he's going through tribulations and trials based on his faith, based on him sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he looked up, he did not see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think that was because he was waiting to welcome him in. You and I should be, in every sense, trying to share Jesus Christ, even with those people that have the rock in their hand. But we don't, because what if they say something about us? What if I lose my job over this? I'm not supposed to share Jesus in this situation. It's against the rules. We need to understand that tribulations, if you are going to stand for Jesus Christ, and there are no tribulations in your life based on your faith. Now, I'm not talking about those, again, that are just part of life, troubles and trials of life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you are standing for Jesus Christ, if you are following Him, if you have submitted to the Spirit in your life, if you are doing what God has called you to do, then there better be tribulations based on faith in your life. If there is not, then you're not sharing faith. You're not sharing Jesus Christ with people. You know how I can share faith with Jesus Christ with people and not be upset? Not have to face tribulation? Right here. With other Christians. But man, when you step outside this building and you go somewhere else and you try to stand up for Jesus Christ and you try to present the gospel as the only way to heaven, you're going to face tribulation of some kind. And that's a good thing. But too many times, we don't want to face that tribulation. But like I said, it should be coming. You should be prepared for it. You should think it's not something strange. It's a privilege. Are you going to do it? Are you going to share it? Are you going to share your faith? Am I going to share my faith? Besides with people that believe. You know, this room, and I've talked about this before, if the windows were darkened and the lights were off, then we would need light in here. But we don't need light in here because the windows are bright and the lights are on. It's only the darkest places that need the light. Yeah, there are a lot of churches that need Jesus, but that world needs Jesus, and we need to take Him to them. That's what it comes down to. I'm going to have to learn to face and look forward to tribulations and the purpose, the privilege, and the power of tribulations that it bestows on our life. That too many times we turn and walk away from. And if you're going through that, and I know there are several of you that are sharing your faith, you're living your faith, and you are dealing with those tribulations, understand that they will come to an end. One way or another, they're going to come to an end, but the bottom line is they will fulfill their purpose when they come to an end. By glorifying God. That's your job. That's your ministry. Is to present Jesus Christ, knowing, expecting, and even hoping for tribulation. I thought about that this week when I thought, well, how do you wrap this message up by telling people to go out and hope for tribulation? Not really what we would always normally expect. But the Bible says if I live the way I'm supposed to, that it's going to happen. It's not something strange. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to be able to stand for Jesus Christ and for people to treat me bad because I love Jesus. That's where we're at. So my prayer for you is that, and myself, is this week we face tribulation. Because that means we've presented the gospel to somebody that needed it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, speak to each of us as only you can. Lord, as we present your word, may we live it first. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.